Have you ever had one of those moments when you've ever felt insecure? Anyone ever felt insecure about something going on in life? You know the times I mean, you know, when you don't feel comfortable in a situation that you're facing. When perhaps you question whether you have what it takes. You question why you're in this certain situation. Perhaps when you feel on shaky ground and you're not confident that things are going to work out. That perhaps someone maybe might call you out and tell you what you already think you know, which is you're unqualified. You're not good enough. You're unworthy, perhaps. Maybe someone says you're ugly or you're different or you're not brave enough or you're not skilled enough. Or not appreciated, you're not loved. In fact, you're not really anything but a fraud. Have you ever felt like any of those scenarios? Maybe you felt insecure when you went for a job promotion that you were up for. And you were going up against people that were far more qualified than yourself. Maybe you felt it when you met your spouse's parents for the first time. Maybe it was when you took a step out of your comfort zone to face a fear. Maybe it was the heights or anything else that you might be afraid of. Maybe it was being bullied for faith, for your faith. Maybe you were made to feel stupid by a peer when you got something wrong. I think the truth is we all have, I think most people put their hands up, we all have those moments when we have felt or feel insecure. There have been different moments in my life over the last 41 years where I felt insecure, whether it being bullied, like myself, was bullied for my faith when I was in senior school, whether it was trying to climb up a rock climbing wall when I was on a school camp, and got stuck halfway up the wall because I was afraid. Whether it was bringing up my kids and perhaps feeling insecure of the enormity of the task that I was facing or am facing when I bring up my kids and knowing what to do. It's overwhelming sometimes. Or as a pastor, there have been times that perhaps I've faced tough situations and it's caused me to ask the question, have I got what it takes? Psychologists would tell us that our sense of insecurity comes from the feeling of fear. The famous acronym, you probably know this, for fear is false evidence appearing real. That's one of the famous acronyms for fear. And the fear that things perhaps won't turn out the way we hoped, or on the other hand, will turn out the way that we think. And it's as bad as that. But fear often comes from lies that people willingly believe about themselves. Now, three biggest are this. I'm helpless, I'm worthless, I'm unlovable. Those are the three biggest ones that people say, and psychologists would say, that people battle with. How many times in your life have you thought about any of those three things about yourself? That thinking can cause us to fear and to develop insecurity. But I think there's also another side to it that's just as big a problem. The fears and the lies that we believe lead to insecurities are more often than not based around what the enemy whispers in our ear. What the enemy whispers in your ear, what the enemy whispers in my ear, and we start to believe. That's where a lot of these issues come from. And Jesus says it this way in John 8, verse 44. When he, the devil, lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar, and he's the father of lies. Those fears, those things that are whispered in our ears that kind of perhaps question who we really are. Those are not from God. Those are, most of the time, those are from the enemy. Sometimes they're from other people. Sometimes perhaps they are things that we just believe about ourselves. But the enemy is always well, I would say probably 90% or more of the time is behind these things that we think about ourselves. We all face moments of insecurity in life, perhaps in regards to relationships, jobs, health, or other, or our relationships with God. But we don't have to believe the lies. You don't have to be in fear. Because this morning, I think there's just one sentence or one tagline that I believe God would want to say to you this morning, and it's simply this: you are secure. You are secure. That's what God would want to say to you this morning, that regardless of what's going on in life, you are secure. The Bible tells us in 1 John 4 verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. And Psalm 34 verse 4 puts it this way: I sought the Lord and he answered me and he delivered me from all my fears. You are secure. If you've got your Bible with you, would you turn with me to Romans chapter 8? We're in a series currently in Romans chapter 8, and we're in the final part today. And we're going to be looking at verses 31 to 39. If you've missed any of the previous weeks, please, you can find those online on our website, and each of the last 3 weeks are there for you to listen to in your own time. Romans chapter 8 verse 31 says these words: what shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give up us everything else? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one, for God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one, for Christ died for us and was raised to life for us, and he is sitting in the place of honour at God's right hand, pleading for us. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day, we are being slaughtered like sheep. No. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. May God bless his word to our hearts as we continue in looking at Romans chapter 8 in our concluding part of the series. We're going to be looking at these verses we just read from 31 to 39, exploring how those who belong to Jesus are secure. Regardless of what's going on in your life this morning, you can be secure. Friends, today you can know without doubt that you are secure, that you'll not be broken, that nothing can separate you from God's love today, tomorrow, the next day, forever. I wonder if you've ever had a moment in the depths of the night, or in a moment of quiet, where perhaps you've questioned, does God really love me? Am I really saved? Has God really forgiven me everything? I think we probably all had perhaps those moments at different times. Why? Because as we established in the introduction to today's message, insecurity and fear is something that we all battle with from time to time. The thought of not being good enough, not measuring up to others' standards, not being accepted or loved. And those doubts and insecurities can quite easily find their way into our faith as well. And the things that perhaps we believe about God if we let them. But here's the truth. You are not alone. You don't have to face this life and everything it has to chuck at you on your own. Despite what people may say about you, despite what you might even feel about yourself today, perhaps what the enemy tries to whisper in your ear, God is very clear about where you stand and your security in Him. You are secure. I am secure. We are secure. Verse 31 says these words. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can be against us? Paul starts verse 31 by kind of just taking a look back over what he's already said, what we've already looked at in the last 3 weeks. These wonderful things about what it means to belong to Christ. So let's have a quick recap what we've looked at over the last, and I mean a really quick recap, of what we've learned over the last 3 weeks. In the first week, we looked at you are not condemned. You may be guilty of doing things wrong, but you're not condemned of it forever. Because if you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour, and you've asked for His forgiveness, verse 1 of Romans 8 tells us, there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Your sin has been forgotten. The enemy condemns, but God gives hope. God gives forgiveness. He brings security. You're free from the power of sin and death. Because Jesus died and rose again, sin no longer has to have dominion over you. Romans 8 verse 2, because you belong to Him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. Then the second week, we looked at who's in control of your life. And we looked at the fact of, are you being controlled by your sinful nature or are you being led by the Spirit of God? If you choose to die to self and your sinful nature, you can be led by the Spirit who will help you to fight against temptation and to make the right decisions so that you can have a life filled with joy. Romans 8 verse 6, by letting the Spirit control your mind, it leads to life and peace. Then last week, we looked at you are a future hope and a present reality. If you know Jesus and you're led by the Spirit, you can be confident that you will be with Jesus in eternity, where there will no longer be any pain, no longer any suffering, no temptation. You will have new heavenly bodies, and you will be at perfect peace. But you can also, as we looked last week, you can also experience a better life right here and right now. It's a present reality. Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, helps to lead us and to guide us, and helps us to not fall into the pits of despair. Gives us what we need to fight against, temptation. Because of these wonderful promises that we've looked at over the last few weeks, you and I today can know that we're secure. Secure. We have a hope in Him. But what does being secure in God mean? Well, this is what the verses from chapter from 31 to 39 we've just read is going to tell us. Being secure in God, number one, means this. No one can stand against you. No one can stand against you. If God has saved you, if he's forgiven you and doesn't hold it against us, which the Bible promises, if he's given us the Holy Spirit to help lead and guide us, and we follow his commands, we should stand secure and confident. We don't need to fear, because no one can stand against you. That's what verse 31 was just saying. No one can stand against you. If God is for us, who can be against us? And I always imagine when I read that verse from the Apostle Paul, that he actually exclaims it, and you can imagine him shouting it. If he was there in person with them, you can imagine him shouting it, saying, if God is for you, who can be against you? It's a truth of God's word. It's something we need to focus our minds on and believe and put into action. See, the devil would like you to believe that you're insecure, that you're worthless, that you're without hope, that you're defeated, and that he, being the devil, is more powerful than God. That's what he'd like you to believe. I guess that's probably what he believes himself. But 1 John 4 verse 4 says it really clearly and categorically when it says, but you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world. God is greater. He who lives in you is greater than whatever the enemy can throw at you or me today. Verse 32 from our reading goes a little bit further, and it says, since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Think of this for a moment. God the Father gave up his own son, Jesus, knowing exactly what was needed to happen in order that you and I might find forgiveness and freedom from sin and death. He did what it took. I'm a dad, and I don't even want to begin to imagine the pain and anguish that giving up one of my sons would cause. But that's exactly what God the Father did. He gave Jesus, allowed Jesus to come to earth to pay the ultimate price. He did it because he loved you. He loved me. He loves us. He wouldn't have put his son through all of the pain, torture, and separation if it couldn't secure our freedom and couldn't secure that security and that hope that we should have as believers. Jesus' sacrifice has made you totally secure. Now, there will be times when perhaps you'll feel shaken. There will be times when you feel like you're teetering on the edge and wondering what's going on. That will happen because we don't live perfect lives and we don't kind of float, or at least I don't, float half a foot off the ground. You know, always with a head in the clouds. The reality is life is hard at times. But listen to these words from Isaiah 54 verse 17. No weapon that is fashioned against you shall succeed, and you shall confute every tongue that rises against you in judgment. This is the heritage of the servants of their Lord, and their vindication from me, declares the Lord. And then 2 Corinthians 4 verse 8 to 9 says it this way. We're troubled on every side. Troubles follow us, don't they, at times in life? We've got troubles on every side. Yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We're cast down, but we are not destroyed. Because of Jesus. We may be shaken, We may be stirred, we may be all kinds of different things, but we will not be broken and we will not be defeated. You are secure. I think we need to repeat that so we know. You are secure. After a minute, you are secure. We need to start telling ourselves these things. You are secure in Christ today. Secondly, you are secure because God has given you right standing. Have you ever been in a position where you felt out of place, where you felt like you didn't belong? Perhaps you got invited to a meeting by your boss that was way above your pay grade. Maybe you ended up getting an award you didn't think that you deserved, and you're standing in front of all these people thinking, why am I here? Perhaps you've been invited, and I've done it on occasion, been invited to a posh restaurant and you felt really out of place. There was one time when a few years ago, I went into a hotel that was really posh. And I felt really insecure because I walked in with shorts and t-shirt and it was like a 5-star hotel. And it was like marble floors and everything like that. And you just like feel insecure sometimes, don't you? And then you go to a restaurant, you go for a meal, and you're sitting kind of down, and like you, like there's so many pieces of cutlery, and like, which one do I do? I just need a knife and fork, that's all I need. There's, you know, one for starters and pre-starters, and one for main meals, and one for dessert. And you like get so confused, and which way you've got to do it, and how you do it. And I felt really insecure in a place like that. Moments like that can happen, can't they? They might make you feel like you don't belong. But you do, because you've been invited. So you're secure in God this morning because you've been invited. It's not because of anything you've done. It's not because you're better than anybody else. But it's because Jesus has invited you to be with him. You can have that security. When perhaps you face other things, you're there because you're rightfully being invited there. You are secure. You've been given right standing by God. Perhaps there have been times when we felt insecure in God's presence because we felt like we didn't belong. Perhaps because of how we view ourselves, and perhaps it's the sin that kind of follows us at times wherever we go, and it so easily entangles. Yet it's not true that you're not secure because of that. It's a lie from the enemy. Verse 33 says, who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one. For God himself has given us right standing with himself. Regardless of all who seek to accuse you, to condemn you, to say you're not good enough, God says you are good enough this morning. You are secure, and as I've said, not because of your own skills, but because of Jesus. Ephesians 2 verse 8 and 9. For it is by grace you've been saved, not through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. You're secure because of what Jesus has done and the invite that he has given you. All who believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior today, believe what he's done, believe that he's forgiven you. You are secure. You belong to him. You've been made righteous. You are clean. In fact, you are a saint. You are a child of the King. You have been chosen. Romans 8, 29. For God knew his people in advance and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be firstborn among many brothers and sisters. What Jesus has done for you is not theory, it's very much fact. It doesn't change it, however hard you find to believe it, it doesn't change the fact that he's died for you. You don't have to listen to what other people say. It's time we started not only kind of believing these things that we but we actually start living like him. Listen to what God says. You are secure. Thirdly, and it is the final bit. Thirdly, you are secure because you are inseparable. Inseparable. Have you ever had a time in your life when you've been inseparable from someone? Perhaps it was maybe when you were dating and you just spent all of your time with the person that you liked. Perhaps it's a friend that you went through a season of life where everything you did together, you met for coffee every day, or you went and did things all the time together. You are inseparable. Perhaps you've had a period in your life where a child of yours has been what felt like surgically attached to you. We have had that in our family a little bit. I know when recently, when Samuel was ill, he followed Eric around all day. Didn't want to be on his own, wanted to be attached to his mummy. There's also been times in recently where we've gone out somewhere and Samuel's come up and held my hand. And he's not wanted to let go. So I've kind of just loosely held his hand before because it might be for a little while. He's like, Daddy, you are not holding my hand properly. So I have to hold his hand properly. He loves at times just being close. Being inseparable, feeling secure, I guess. Have you ever had those times when you've just been inseparable from someone? Being in the company of people we love can make us feel secure. And as a believer in Jesus, we need to be reminded today that nothing can separate you from God. You are inseparable. Verse 38 and 39 of our reading in the NIV, I've been reading from the New Living Translation, but the NIV says it this way, for I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers can separate us. There's nothing that can separate you from the loving God of the universe. Sin and death can't separate you. Because of Jesus' sacrifice and death, because of Jesus' sacrifice, sin and death no longer have dominion over you. Romans 6, verse 9-14 says, for we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. Secondly, the devil and his demons. They can't separate you from God's love. They may whisper in your ear, tell you you're not good enough, tell you that you're damaged goods, that you're actually chained, but you're not. Christ has set you free. Not even the power of hell can separate you from God's love. 1 John 4 verse 4, that we said before, he that's in you that's greater than he that is in the world. Fears, they can't separate you either. Fears may feel paralyzing, overwhelming, and cause you anxiety. They can make you feel like it's the end of the world. But it doesn't mean that it is. It doesn't mean that it is. God will never leave you. Isaiah 41 verse 10, fear not, for I'm with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Nothing can separate you from God's unconditional love this morning. You are secure. Verse 39 goes on to say, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate you from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is no way of telling you anymore. It's the most amazing verse. Nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate you from God's love. You can try as hard as you like, but it won't separate you. You're loved. You can be secure. You can't be separated from God's love, but this is what can happen. If you choose to believe the lie of the enemy, you can choose to believe you're not good enough. You can choose to be bound by your past. You can choose to let fear overwhelm you. You can choose to listen to what the enemy whispers. They can't separate you from God's love. But they can cloud your judgment. They can make you feel like you're on your own. But the thing is this. God hasn't moved. We're the ones that have moved. We can choose to make life easy, or we can choose to make life hard. We can choose to believe what God says and know that security, or we can choose to battle and we can choose to kind of give in to what the enemy says. And it doesn't change anything. We are not separated from God, but we can live with clouded judgment. We can live far in our own minds from God because we're believing a lie. You can be secure. You just need to focus your eyes on Jesus. So as we finish this morning, how can you make sure that you remain secure yourself? How can you tell yourself that you need to be secure in Christ and what he's told you? I've said this many times before, but it's truth. You have to immerse yourself in God's word. What do we mean by that? You need to be reading your Bible every day. You need to be reading what God says about you. You need to let that come into your heart. You need to meditate on it. You need to learn it. You need to perhaps write scriptures down on your walls that you can see when you go in the bathroom, or you can see when you're doing washing up. And you let it immerse into your spirit until it not only becomes words, but it becomes a living reality for you. Verses that will counteract your fears and your doubts and your temptations. Love what Proverbs 4:20-23 says. My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart. For they'll bring life to those who find them and healing to their body. Guard your heart above all things, for it determines the course of your life. Put the scriptures around, learn them, meditate on them. And what I've been doing in recent times that I find really helpful, pray them. Pray the scriptures that you see. Pray them over yourself. Pray them over your family. Pray them over your fears. Psalm 34 verse 1 is one of my go-to verses that I pray over myself. Talking about, as we said a little earlier, you know, coming to God and he releases us from all our fears. Secondly, we need to remind ourselves and live like we're more than conquerors and fight. Verse 37, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. There's nothing that can happen to you that God's not already fully aware of. Whether it be temptation, relational issues, work issues, dilemmas with your children, financial and the rest, none of this need knock your security. God isn't going to leave you. He'll help you to battle through, and you'll come through the other side stronger if you focus and be led by him. Why? Because the risen Jesus is on our side and the power of the Spirit is working in your life. You will overcome. You just need to stand up and fight. Ephesians 6:11, put on the full armour of God so you'll be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. So as we finish, in conclusion, I am secure. You are secure. No weapon formed against you will prosper, whether that be a temptation, a health situation, financial, relational, job, or anything else in between. You may be shaken, but you'll not be broken. You are secure because Jesus paid the debt you could not pay. You are secure because he's chosen you and given you right standing. And no one can stand against you because of that. You are totally secure because those who truly belong to Jesus cannot be accepted from his love. With this confidence, we need to not only believe it, but we need to live it by constantly meditating on God's word and fighting the good fight of faith. And one more time, you are secure. You are secure. Let's pray together.